Amen. I invite you to turn your Bibles to the book of Acts, Acts chapter 8, Acts chapter 8. Well, thank Missy for that beautiful offertory. I forgot to point out that hymn was in our hymn book, and I forgot to remind you to turn to that hymn as she played it. It is finished. Ron Hamilton's great song, "It Is Finished," was his cry. So Acts chapter 8, and I'd like to begin reading at verse 1. Acts 8, verse 1. "And Saul was consenting unto his death." That is the death of Stephen, the first martyr that we read about in the previous chapter. "And at that time there was a great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem, and they were scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles." Verse 4. "Therefore they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them." Verse 8. "And there was great joy in that city," that is the city of Samaria. Then verse 26. "And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise, go toward the south, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem, unto Gaza, which is a desert." In other words, Philip, leave the city and go out into the middle of the desert. "And he arose and he went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority, under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasure, and who had come to Jerusalem to worship. He was returning and sitting in his chariot, reading Isaiah the prophet. And then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself unto this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, Do you understand thou what thou readest? And he said, How can I understand except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. And the place in the scripture which he read was this, He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before her shearers, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speakest the prophet this, of himself or some other man? And then Philip opened his mouth, and he began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. Verse 32, the place of the scripture which he read was this. Verse 34, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Verse 35, then Philip preached unto him Jesus. Now turn with me to Isaiah chapter 53. And this is the passage from which Philip was quoting. This is a passage in which the Ethiopian eunuch was reading in his chariot, was Isaiah 53. So we'll go there. This is a great chapter of the cross. And every verse in Isaiah 53 is a glimpse or a scene of the crucified Savior. Yet it was written some 700 years before Christ. It was written before the rise of the Roman Empire, when death by crucifixion was introduced. So we're reading about a crucifixion here, and yet there was no such thing as crucifixion during this time it was written. And then the seventh verse is where the eunuch was reading, and where Philip preached to reach this African to Christ. So look at verse 7 of Isaiah 53. We read, He, that is speaking of Jesus, He was oppressed, He was afflicted, yet He opened not His mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shears is dumb, so He opened not His mouth. There's two aspects to the sufferings of Jesus Christ. And that is, number one, the surrender of self. Jesus surrendered himself. Number two, the silence of self. Jesus suffered silently. And we see those points in your bulletin. I think it's on the facing page or the second page of your bulletin in a box as a little outline as surrender of self and silence of self. Surrender of self. He is brought as a lamb. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter. The surrender of self. And then as a sheep before her shears is dumb. Before, as a sheep is mute, does not speak, so he opened not his mouth. The silence of self. So, first of all, the surrender of self. He is brought as a lamb, verse 7. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shears is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. Nine words with rich truth concerning the death of our Lord. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter. He is brought, or as the Ethiopian eunuch read, he was led. He was brought, he was led as a lamb to the slaughter. In other words, number one, or letter A, his death was voluntary. Jesus' death was voluntary. He volunteered to die. He gave his life. They didn't take his life. He was brought. He was led. Jesus was not forced to the cross. He was not dragged to the cross. He was not taken against his will or compelled by a stronger power. If it was me, I would have gone kicking and screaming and fighting until I had no fight left in me. And there wouldn't be much fight left in me, believe me. But he was led. He willingly went. He was oppressed and afflicted, and he let himself be afflicted. He didn't have to do that, but he did it for me. He did it for you. He let himself willingly. He let himself be afflicted. He voluntarily accepted the cross. As a lamb is led to be killed, is patient, so he had all power at his disposal, and yet he went silently, quietly, gently. Amazing grace, we sing. Indeed, amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. And this is how we're saved. The lamb was led to the slaughter in my place, in your place. His life was not taken, it was given. It was given. We read in John 10, in fact, turn to the Gospel of John. And John chapter 10 and verses 17 and 18. John 10, verse 17, Jesus said, therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. Notice that. I lay it down. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it again. This commandment I have received of my Father. No man takes it from me. I give it. I give it. He voluntarily gave it for you and me. Look at John 18, verse 6. John 18, verse 6. They came to apprehend him, led by Judas, of course. And he let them take him, didn't he? He didn't have to. He had the power to destroy them all. In fact, verse 6, as soon as he had said unto them, I am he, they went backward and fell to the ground. He had the power. He had the power to destroy him. He just said, I am he, and they all fell down. Some believe there could have been several hundred men in this group that came to apprehend him, not just two or three. And all several hundred of them, if there were that many, fell down because of his power. And then look at verse 11. And then said Jesus unto Peter, he cut off the high priest's servant's ear. And Jesus said, put up your sword and your sheath. The cup which my Father hath given me, shall I not drink it? The cup here speaks of his death, his crucifixion, his slaughter. and shall I not drink it? He was led. And then in we read in Matthew 26, you need not turn there, but let me quote Matthew 26, 53 and 54. Thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels? But how then shall the scriptures be fulfilled, that thus it must be? I could call thousands of angels, but he willingly went to the cross, and he died alone for you and me. In John 19, verse 10, Pilate said to Jesus, knowest thou not that I have power to crucify thee? And I have power, I have the ability to release thee. And Jesus answered, thou couldest have no power at all against me except it were given thee from above. Pilate, every ounce of power you have came from God. You don't have that power in your own strength. What love? What love? Love led him to Calvary. He was not driven to Calvary. He was drawn by the love of God and his love and passion to save a world of sinners. He was drawn to the cross to save Terry Post. And that, my friends, is unbelievable. Why would anyone do that? But my Savior did that, and he did it for you. So have you come? Have you come to this one who died in your place, who bore your penalty, the penalty you owe, and the penalty you will pay by suffering in hell forever, lest you trust the one who bore your punishment, your hell, in his body on the cross? He willingly laid down his life. He was brought. He was not driven. He was brought by the love of God. His death was voluntary. His death was voluntary. Are you and I led by God? Do we follow? Or do we have to be forced to serve God? Well, I know I should go to church, but I don't want to. But if I have to, is that our attitude? Sometimes it is, even as adults, as parents and grandparents. Do I have to read my Bible today? It should be, I can't wait to read my Bible. I can't wait to spend time with my Lord. And if my relationship's with an enemy, that's the way it'll be. But if I'm not walking with him, then it all seems mechanical. It all seems forced, doesn't it? His death was voluntary. Secondly, or letter B, his death was vicarious. His death was in my place and your place. He was my substitute, right? He was led as a lamb. Again, Isaiah 53:7. He was led as a lamb. As a lamb died in the place of the sinner who offered that lamb, so the Lamb of God died in the place of us sinners. His death was vicarious. He was a Passover lamb. The Passover lamb, according to Exodus 12, verses 5 to 13, was to be without blemish, a male of the first year. They were to kill it in the evening and take of the blood and strike it on the two signposts on the upper doorpost. And God said, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you. That's where we get the term Passover. I will pass over. Of course, the Lord transformed that Passover when he observed the last Passover with his disciples into a memorial for his death, the Lord's Supper, as we call it. But he said, when I see the blood, whose blood? The blood of the innocent lamb. The blood of the innocent Jesus, who never did sin, never even thought a sinful thought, never committed a sinful act, but bore my sin, took all of our sin in his body. Every sinful thought, every sinful deed, every sinful thing of every sinful person who has ever lived or will ever live in this world. He died for the sins of the world. He died for all. And his blood is sufficient to take away the sin of any who will come to him. The lamb offered instead of the sinner. The lamb offered in the stead of the sinner, the lamb offered in the place of the sinner. His death was vicarious. It was substitutionary. God's lamb, Jesus, died in the sinner's place. So he is brought as a lamb. His blood washed my sin away. His death bore my sin away. His death was pictured in sending the scapegoat, the priest putting his hand on the head of the goat and then sending it off into the wilderness. And the scapegoat took our sin out in the wilderness. That's what Jesus did. He bore our sins in his body on the tree in 1 Peter 2, 21 and 24. He who knew no sin became sin for us. In 2 Corinthians 5, 21, he hath made him to be sin for us, he who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. God made his son sin. The one who had no sin, he made sin by putting our sin on him. But he was victorious over it. And so we need not die for our sin. Isn't that amazing? Isn't it marvelous? That's worth living for. He's a Savior worth giving our lives for. He is worth our time and effort every day in his word, in prayer, in telling others about him. It's the most exciting news in all the universe that Jesus died to save sinners. And others can be saved. You can be saved. My friends can be saved if I will just get that message out to others. O precious, innocent, spotless lamb, an ocean of blood shed by beasts cannot take away one sin. None of those lambs that were offered, none of the goats, none of the oxen that were offered took away one solitary sin, but they all pointed to the supreme sacrifice, the Lamb of God. So the blood of the Lamb of God can remove all the sin of all the world. His death was vicarious. So his death was voluntary, his death was vicarious, and thirdly, letter C, his death was vicious. His death was vicious. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter. Again, Isaiah 53:7. The slaughter, and that's a terrible word, isn't it? Slaughter. Slaughter. I heard about a surgeon once whose name was Dr. Slaughter. Man, oh man. I question whether I'd want to go to see him. Maybe that was made up, but I remember there was a dentist in town called Dr. Payne. I mean, you don't want to be a dentist and your last name be Payne. So, but slaughter, a cruel word. It suggests the brutality of God's innocent, holy lamb, the brutality that was laid on him. We read Isaiah 50. In fact, you can turn, if you're in Isaiah 53, Isaiah 50, verse 6, we read, I gave my back to the smiters and my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting. And indeed, they would pluck Jesus' beard off his face. Isaiah 53:5, he was wounded, he was bruised. By his stripes, the lashes of the whip on his back, we are healed. And we read in Luke, you may turn there if you like, Luke chapter 23 and Luke 23:33. And when they were come to a place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him. And on down, and they parted his raiment and cast lots. And they derided him, saying, he saved others, let him save himself, if he be the Christ, the chosen of God. And all the soldiers mocked him. They offered him vinegar. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, if thou be the Christ, save thyself and us. Now I jumped all the way down to verse 39. They railed on him. They mocked him. They spit in his face. They ridiculed him. Matthew 26:67. They did spit in his face and buffeted him, and others smote him with the palms of their hands. They beat him up. They beat him up on the head. They pounded his head. They didn't just slap him around a little bit. They pounded him to where he was bleeding. Look at Matthew 27. Turn to Matthew 27. And verse 26. Matthew 27. Sure I have it here. Verse 26. And then released he Barabbas unto them. And when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. Then the soldiers and the governor took Jesus unto the common hall and gathered unto him a whole band of soldiers. And they stripped him, and they put on him a scarlet robe. And when they had planted a crown of thorns, they put it upon his head. And some believe these thorns could have been somewhere around 2-3 inches long. They were wicked. And a reed in his right hand, they bowed the knee before him, and they mocked him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews! And they spit upon him. They took the reed, and they smote him on the head. And after that they had mocked him, they took the robe off from him, and put his own raiment on him, and led him away, led as a lamb to the slaughter, to crucify him. And as they came out, they found a man of Cyrene, Siloam by name, and they compelled him to bear his cross. And when they were come to the place called Golgotha, that is to say, a place of the skull, they gave him vinegar to drink, mingled with gall, and when he had tasted thereof, he would not drink. And they crucified him. And they parted his garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, they parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture, and then they cast lots. And sitting down, they watched him. And sitting down, they just watched him there. They watched him die. They watched him suffer. His death was a slaughter. His death was vicious. So he was led. His death was voluntary. As a lamb, his death was vicarious. To the slaughter, his death was vicious. So he surrendered himself. And then secondly, we see the silence of self. He was as silent as a sheep, the silence of self. Has anyone suffered like our Lord suffered and yet remained silent? Can you imagine that? Has it ever happened before? Has it ever happened since? Maybe. But no one suffered as our Lord suffered and yet remained silent. Has there ever been one who was so spotless and innocent of any wrongdoing and yet suffered silently? He did no sin. There wasn't even any deceit in his mouth. Well, we see under the point silence of self, his identification. His identification, letter A, as a sheep before her shears is dumb. As a sheep, that's who he was, as a sheep. The shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. But here, he is a sheep. The shepherd's not just the shepherd, he's also the sheep. He is both priest and sacrifice. He is both God and man. He is both shepherd and sheep. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one of us to his own way. But the Lord laid on him, the sacrificial lamb, the iniquity of us all. And because he laid on him our iniquity, he suffered for you and me. He was made sin for us, 2 Corinthians 5:21. He was numbered with the transgressors, Isaiah 53:12. He wasn't a sinner. He violated no law. He was not a transgressor, and yet they considered him a sinner on that cross. He was numbered with the transgressors. He was crucified next to two thieves who were there for murder. He tasted death for every man, Hebrews 2:9. So he has made sin for us. He was numbered with transgressors. He tasted death for every man. His identification. Letter B, his humiliation. His humiliation. As a sheep before her shearers is dumb, silent. After a sheep after being sheared, looks kind of funny. Looks kind of funny. I don't know anything about sheep, but when a sheep gets sheared, they look like they're naked. Look like they lost their clothes, you know, and they want to go hide. They're being robbed of their beautiful wool, and it's a humiliating process. I don't know if sheep really feel, I don't know if they get together and say, man, this is embarrassing. They cut all our clothes off. You know, what are we going to do? We need to go hide. But that's how it looks. It's a humiliating thing. Well, the awful humiliation our Lord experienced. He died naked. He died, many believe, with only a loincloth on his body. And he was totally exposed to the cold as well as to the shame. The shame of it all. Come naked. Naked we come to him for dress. Naked come to thee for dress. We sing in the great hymn, Rock of Ages, cleft for thee. As the sheep provide wool for a covering, Christ in humiliation was stripped to provide the eternal robe of righteousness to all who believe. And he died naked on that cross that you might be clothed in his righteousness and that you might be dressed in white. And you and I will be for all eternity when we get to heaven. So the silence of self, his identification, his humiliation, and then thirdly, his self-denial. Or letter C, his self-denial. He opened not his mouth. Isaiah 53:7. He didn't open his mouth. He was silent. It brings us to the glorious victory of Christ over the anguish and shame. As sheep being shorn will submit silently, so our Lord submitted. Silently, willingly. Three times in Isaiah 53:7, Isaiah tells us that Jesus was silent. He was silent before the Jewish rulers in the gospel. Jesus always held his peace. We read in facing Pilate. In facing Pilate, he was silent. Let's see. Herod. Herod questioned him in Luke 23:9. Herod questioned him with many words, but he answered him nothing. Facing Pilate, he answered nothing. Standing before Herod, he answered nothing. In Matthew 26:62, and the high priest arose, answer thou nothing? But Jesus held his peace. Matthew 27:12. And when he was accused of the chief priest, he answered nothing. Then said Pilate unto him, do you not hear how many things they witness against thee? And he answered him, never a word, insomuch that the governor, Pilate, marveled greatly. He could have spoke up. He had the right to. He could have spoken and protested and rightly claimed his innocence. And one breath from him, and all would have been dead that were seeking to take his life. But in the silence of self, he never said a word in his defense. Though he knew he was hated without a cause. Why did he do that? Because Calvary, the cross, was the will of God for him. And through his death, and though his death was not deserved, it was decreed. It wasn't deserved, but it was decreed by the Father that his Son would go to the cross. It pleased the Lord to bruise him. Psalm 39:9, we read, I was dumb, I was mute, I opened not my mouth, because thou didst it, God did it. A prophecy of his death on the cross in Psalm 39:9. So in Christ we see the silence of self, the surrender of self, and the answers of glory are avenues of victory for us if we will follow our Lord. And oh, what love for us when we read about what our Savior did on the cross. We need to be willing to be led as lambs. to follow the example of our Lord, to surrender self. And I don't know about you, but I love myself. I love myself more than I love anybody in all the world. And so that's a problem, isn't it? That's a problem. Because I'm to die to self. I'm to die to the old man, as Jim was teaching on that in his study in Romans chapter 6 this morning. And the old man is still there. The remains of sin are still alive and well. And I got to continually die. Didn't Paul say, I die daily? And sometimes we need to die hourly. And sometimes moment by moment. But we need to be willing to be led as lambs, to surrender ourselves. And we lack that lamb-like submissiveness in surrendering our wills. We run and hide from the slaughter. We try to save ourselves. But may God give us the grace to die to our own will and to be led by God, to be led as lambs, willingly, submissively, silently, silent as sheep. Peter tells us that in his silence, Jesus left us an example. And I invite you to turn to 1 Peter 2. 1 Peter 2, and we looked here before, we began in this somewhere in here. But 1 Peter 2, verse 17. 1 Peter 2:17, servants, be subject to your own masters with all fear, not only to good and gentle, but to all the forward. For this is thankworthy, if a man for conscience towards God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. For what glory is it if when you be buffeted for your faults, you shall take it patiently? But if when you do well, you suffer for it, you take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. For even hereunto you are called, because Christ suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. And when he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judges righteously. When he suffered, he threatened not. He didn't try to get out of it. But do we follow his steps in this godly submission? How do we act when we come before our shears? How do we respond when things aren't going well? When we're mistreated? We're treated wrongfully? Silent or assertive? Do we suffer silently with our eyes on God? Or are we assertive, claiming our rights? You can't do that to me. You have no right. Since when did we get the idea we have our rights? Jesus had his right too, but he willingly gave it up. When our reputation, our position is on the line, how do we act? Do we raise our voices in our defense, contending for our rights? The Calvary way is a way of silence. Silence. But Lord, it's such a hard road to travel. It's a hard road to hoe, as we say. But Jesus had a hard road, and he was innocent. He didn't deserve to die. He didn't deserve it. But he allowed this atrocity to fall on him silently, submissively. We love to fight and argue, don't we? You've been there. Fight, argue, want to show people a thing or two. Man, if I just had the opportunity, I'd like to give him a what for, right? Well, Jesus held his peace. And there are many who are silent, and they're accepting their place in life with joy, with joy. Wives, many wives and mothers, weighed down with the immense load and the cares of the home and the problems of the kids and the husband who's far, far from Prince Charming on top of it all. Young people who suffer silently, bear it silently, rarely. There are young people who rarely complain. And some of you are no doubt among them, right? Following the Lord. Lonely people, people living in pain, constant pain, who never complain. Sometimes I'm shocked to hear of someone who has constant severe pain. I think, I never knew, because they never complain. I complain. When I hurt, when things, I let you know. When a hammer falls on my head, I want you to know. See this? Yeah, I'm always. When I get a Band-Aid and I had to have a Band-Aid on a little finger here, I want people to see that, you know, but others aren't like that. Others aren't like that. Lonely people, people with pain, suffering silently, following their Lord. May we all be found in fellowship with the sufferings of Christ. May we enter into the sufferings. Paul said in Philippians 3, that I may know him and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. May God help us to know him in that way. And some of us have a long way to go, but we can go that way, can't we? If we're willing, if we're willing. Let's bow in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for this amazing passage of the prophecy of the sufferings of Christ and how it came to be fulfilled to the very letter. Every letter was fulfilled, and it was out of the love you had for us sinners, Lord, that took you to Calvary, took you to the cross, and you willingly laid your life down there. No man took it from you, but you laid it down because you loved us and you gave yourself for us. So may we in turn give ourselves to you, Lord. You are worthy. You are deserving of all that we can give you. May we give you our best. May we give you the most valuable of our lives, of our time, of our effort, of all that we have, Lord. And we know we then will know your blessing. Bless as we close. We give ourselves to you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.